while I was away. So the recorder is started, going to the Kindle. I got to get back into NTI. I was reading other things while I was away. NTI Revelation chapter 7, page 470. Does that sound good? Okay, so looks like we have a little Bible icon here, and I have a Bible. So let's look at the Bible, Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 to 4. Trouble getting to the right spot, but I will make it. Here we go. All right. After this, now let me just give us a review because we've been gone a month, at least physically we've been gone a month. So remember there's a scroll that's being opened, and it has seals on it. It has seven seals on it altogether, and the Lamb was the only one found worthy to open the scroll. That's the way the story is going in Revelation. And we had the sixth seal taken off, and those were our six horses, right? And now we're waiting for the seventh seal. If I remember correctly, I don't think the seventh seal has come off yet, so we're still waiting for that last seal to open the scroll. So we've just seen the six seals and the different horses, and so here we go. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. Then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given the power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the tree until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. And then verses 5 through 8 just go through and they list each of the tribes of Israel and how many people. And it's 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, which equals 144,000. So these 144,000 were, according to the Bible, were to be saved from whatever was to come when that seventh seal was broken. Okay, so let's look at the Holy Spirit's interpretation of this. The purpose of these verses is to again assure you that there is nothing to fear. The four angels who are holding back the winds represent the holding back of the end of perception. The end of perception is held back. It does not come to you to be looked at and let go until you are ready and call it forth in your mind. This is the seal of the 144,000. The seal represents readiness, and the 144,000 represent the lessons you have learned as you have prepared yourself to choose between that which seems real but isn't, and that which is truly and enduringly true. So one theme that seems to come up over and over again, I mean, it's in A Course in Miracles. I think it's right here in NTI. I remember reading it in the Bhagavad Gita. I'm sure it comes up. I read it someplace else recently, but I don't remember where. But the idea is, if we were to awaken before we were fully ready to awaken, it would be terrifying. And so what we seem to be told is that that's something we don't have to worry about. Like, we don't have to worry that when we awaken, we will be ready to awaken. So we don't actually have to worry about the fear of awakening. And it's kind of interesting because the ego tends to ignore that. The ego seems to tell us that we will be afraid of awakening. That no, But all of the spiritual teachings, all the wisdom teachings say that's not true because we'll be ready. And so that's what this is telling us. It's saying, you know, these four angels symbolize holding back the end of perception until we're ready. It can't come to us until we're ready. So there's nothing to fear. It's a very, very gentle process. And when we're completely ready for awakening, then of course awakening will come and we will accept it. And then it tells us that really there's 12 lessons that we have learned over and over again, of course, within NTI. And as we really learn these lessons over and over again, in fact, 12 lessons learned 12,000 times is really what's being represented here. That's what readies us, which means these next set of lessons that we're going to read are really important. These are the things that ready us to accept awakening. So let me read, I don't have to read verses 5 to 8. Verses 5 to 8 is like, from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed, from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed, etc. So we're going to look at those 12 lessons then that are learned 12,000 times each. Each of the tribes of Israel represents a lesson category. Each lesson has been taught until you have taken it in and learned it fully. So that the lessons themselves are like a shield that protects you from anything you may experience as you face the end of perception. The 12 lessons are these. The very first lesson, you are innocent. And this is a really important lesson because if we still believe that we are guilty, one of the effects of the belief in guilt is fear. So if we still believe we are guilty, then there's still going to be fear of awakening. You know, I've experienced this fear directly three times that I can think of. One time, and in fact it's while I was writing in TI Revelation, one time I had this vision where I was like going through the mind, and I guess with the Holy Spirit, you know, looking at different beliefs and letting them go, and looking at different beliefs and letting them go, and just kind of traveling through the mind. And then I came to this space, I don't know how to describe it, this space where you could say the decision had been made to leave reality and fall into misperception, okay? The space of the tiny net idea. And in that moment, when I was at that space, again, I'm looking at beliefs, and that's still just a belief. This whole thing is just a belief, right? So now I'm looking at this belief, the beginning of time, and I still had guilt in my mind at the time, and so the thought was something like, oh my God, I don't want to know that I did that. I don't want to know that I'm responsible for the creation of the world and everything in it. And as soon as I had that idea, I don't want to know that's who I am, it was like this going back, and then I was Regina again. So the guilt in the mind did not allow me to look at that belief. Because I didn't want to know. I didn't want to see myself as the one responsible for everything. So you are innocent. Another time I had a vision. A long time ago, so I'm really trying to pull it back, but I had a vision where I was looking at the mind, and the mind had so much hatred and so much fear in it. I got to really, really see it for about 2 seconds, and I don't have a clear memory of that now. More what I remember is telling the story than the actual event. It's like I remember telling the story of the event, but I got to see all of the fear and hatred in the mind for just about 2 seconds, and then I came out. And what happened to me is, up until that day, all my life, I wanted to move really, really fast on the spiritual path. That day, it like put a spit on it. It was like, oh my God, now I understand why this has to take time. I see how much fear and how much hatred there is in the mind. And the fear and the hatred comes from the belief and the guilt. So, I think there was another time that I passed in mind a while ago when I had an experience of fear. Oh, yes. Yes. The other time, I had a lot of fear around the relationship, around joining in with Laurent. And I was just looking at the fear, and I got to this point in the mind where I was ready to go to God completely naked, you know, and I don't mean that physically, I mean just completely vulnerable, go to God and say, here I am. And in my mind, what I saw was that God, this of course was a belief, what I saw is that God would look at me and say, not you. Like, everyone else could come. Everyone else could be accepted by God, but not me. And then the second night, I went through the same fear experience, and I looked at it, and I looked at it, and I even went past that point. Because at that point, there was a God, and there was a me. And there was a God rejecting me. And you have a God rejecting you, still have the possibility for a defense mechanism because you can hate him. You can leave a bad God, right? You can protect yourself. I went right past that in the mind to where there was nothing but oneness, and of course I am that oneness, but not to awakening oneness. This is, I would have to call this big ego oneness. And what I saw was that there was so much self-hatred, which is really guilt, so much self-hatred in the mind that I really feared that I could get to a point where I no longer forgave myself at all, and that I would just devour myself with self-hatred. Yeah, this is self, nothing but self-hatred, no chance for love and forgiveness ever again. And I thought, oh my God, that's hell. That's hell. But then right after I saw that, that's when something popped, and I saw that could never happen, that we can never totally hate ourselves. But those are three different times that I've come into contact with this guilt at a, I'm going to call it a metaphysical level. These experiences I perceive as being beyond Regina. Right? These were huge metaphysical experiences. And so with that much self-hatred and guilt in the mind, we're going to be too afraid to accept awakening. So one of the lessons that needs to be learned 12,000 times is you are innocent. No matter what you've done, we're not talking about no matter what you've done, Priscilla, Dan, Francine, we're talking about no matter what you've done, divine mind. That's where this massive fear and guilt and self-hatred was. It's at the level of divine, you know, divine mind. Not awakened, but, you know, not personal, right? So the first lesson, you are innocent. The second lesson that needs to be learned 12,000 times, you are the Son of God, and everything you experience is a gift to yourself. That's a critical, critical lesson. You know, like I have a friend who recently wrote to me and said something about her husband having an affair or something like that. And basically this is, you know, my response to her was looking at this as an opportunity for healing. It's a gift for yourself. And one thing I said to her is something like, you know, don't make the mistake of blaming your husband for your pain. And so I can't emphasize this enough. And that's what this is really saying. Everything you experience is a gift to yourself. And you have to see it that way. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's the husband having an affair, the death of a child, I don't know other things. I can't think of other things in this moment. But it doesn't matter what it is. You have to see it as a gift to yourself. You have to see it as there to help you awaken. And you have to look to see how this situation can help you awaken. This is a lesson that needs to be learned 12,000 times. If we're blaming outside of ourselves, blaming circumstances, blaming people, blaming governments, blaming corporations, we're not ready to awaken. So no blame game, right? Everything is there to help you awaken. Lesson number three. You choose the purpose for everything you see, and the purpose you choose is the one that is given to it. This is just a follow-on. The previous one told us that everything is a gift. It didn't tell us how it's a gift. This is telling us how it's a gift. It's a gift because you get to choose the purpose. So you get to choose that I'm going to use this situation to keep right on sleeping, right on believing I'm a person, you keep right on believing he's a jerk, you know? Or, I'm going to use this situation to heal. I'm going to look at my mind, I'm going to see why I'm bothered by this, right? You get to choose, and no one else can choose for you. And so whatever you choose, that's the purpose. And so that's another lesson that's learned 12,000 times. Number four, purpose is based on desire. Since there is only one true desire, there is only one true purpose, anything else is an illusion. I was interviewing a guy, I guess it was yesterday, named Tony Samara, somewhere in Northern Europe. And he's a guy who, again, has the reputation of being enlightened. And he started in Zen Buddhism, then moved to shamanism, then moved to Jainism. But when he was telling me about the time that he was in Zen Buddhism, learning to meditate, somehow I guess I asked him the question if there were any distractions for him or anything like that. And he talked about, he said, yes. He said, there was this one time when this beautiful woman came to the monastery and he became distracted because he, you know, thought that he was falling in love with her. And he didn't go into detail about the story, but he said, but then what he realized was that wasn't what he wanted. And then he came back and he was very focused again. And I thought, you know, that's happened to me before too, not falling in love with a young woman, but thinking I wanted something and having just enough of it to realize, no, I don't want that, and then coming back to my purpose. And that's basically what this is saying. Anything that you think you want isn't what you want. The only thing that you want is awakening, right?
Yeah.
Anything that you think you want isn't what you want. And this is a lesson that's learned 12,000 times. Sometimes it's learned just through our contemplation of it. Sometimes it's learned by us falling in love with a beautiful woman, realizing that wasn't what we wanted, and coming back, right? But anything you think you want isn't what you want. The only thing you want is awakening. So purpose is based on desire. Since there is only one true desire, there is only one true purpose. Anything else is illusion. Number 5, you are never alone. Separation is false. The light in the mind lends you its strength because the light in the mind is your strength. I experience this two ways. One way I experience it is the inspiration, although inspiration feels like too light of a word right now, but I can't think of another word. Inspiration dash motivation is one word. The inspiration motivation I receive when I go within each day. You know, like if I didn't go within each day, I think my gas would just putter out and I would lose interest on this path. But when I go within each day, there's some kind of inspiration motivation that really keeps me here. Something is strengthening me, feeding me, making me want to be here, right? So that's one way I experience this particular lesson. The other way I experience this lesson is that I really notice how the universe is laying out circumstances, things that I have no control over that are coming together in order to help me awaken. And so I realize it's not coming from the little me. You know, this isn't about just me trying to awaken because there's too many circumstances that have unfolded that are beyond the little me's power. So I know that I'm not alone, both when I look within and when I look at the world. I see it in both directions. So you are never alone. Separation is false. The light in the mind lends you its strength because the light in the mind is your strength. Number 6. The illusion of the world is false. It only seems real because you have given it your belief. But by withholding your belief, its realness must fade. This is a lesson that must be learned 12,000 times. And in fact, I think maybe this one 24,000 times. You know, we do pretty well on the spiritual path until something big happens in our life, and then we go right back to our ego way of trying to control.
Yeah.
Right? And this is really saying you have to not do that. You have to stop believing the world. You know, when something seems to be coming that's really big, you have to learn to go within and let go of thinking. Let go completely. When you go within and let go of thinking, you aren't trying to control it all, right? And you need to learn to do that and let the world rearrange circumstances without you being involved. This is kind of like the Tao Te Ching, right? Without you being involved. And that's really withholding your belief when you do nothing. Like the Course, I need. And when you're willing to do nothing while your life seems to be falling apart, you're getting ready to awaken. Right? Yeah. Number 7. Your faith and trust is everything. For that which you put faith in, you will experience. This is because you are the Son of God. It's a similar lesson to number 6, but what it's again saying, that if I have faith in my little power, and I think if I don't solve this problem's not going to be solved, that's what I'm going to experience. It's exactly what it's going to look like. If I have faith that there is a universe, a benevolent universe here, I could even call it God, that can take care of everything and it doesn't need me at all, and I can stay out of it, that is what I'm going to experience. I'm going to experience whatever I really believe. Number 8. Your true desire is know thyself. Any other desire is the desire not to know thyself, which is to choose lack and fear. You are ready to put aside the temporary experience of lack and fear and to know the completeness of truth once again. So we're talking about desires again. So let's say I desire a smaller house, be cheaper, easier to take care of, I don't need a big house anymore. I also desire a new car. My car is getting kind of old, and there's a really cool model that's out there. I also desire, you know, whatever. This is saying it may look like you desire a smaller house. It may look like you desire a new car and a whatever. But really, when you're focused on those things, you're just saying, I don't want to know myself. I don't want to awaken. I would rather think about getting a smaller house, getting a new car, than focus on awakening. That's what you're saying. And it wasn't then it's saying, and that's not true. You know, you're only believing that's true about you. You are believing you want something other than awakening when you're focused on these other things. That's not even a truth about you. So it's like taking that to another level. And so it's really saying, wake up, stop believing you want those other things because you don't. Turn your attention to what you really want and awaken. Right? Stop messing around with yourself. It's basically telling us we're lying to ourselves. And in the Bible, Jesus does call the ego a liar. Yeah. So I think Dan's noticing, I guess, the sun. I don't think closing those does any good, Dan. So it comes right in. I guess I could move my chair. That's probably what I should do. Yeah, whoops. Pull it forward a little bit. All right. So number 9, anything that is not truth is illusion. To choose illusion is to choose fantasy, but fantasy cannot change the truth. So again, a lesson that's learned 12,000 times, anything that is not truth is illusion. And this is a lesson I do keep learning. Probably my most recent really big learning, and it was actually a couple of years ago, but my most recent really big learning was realizing all of the spiritual things that I thought were truth that aren't truth. You know? And now I teach that in MPP. I'm always teaching people all of these things that are really just beliefs. They're not truth, but most spiritual people think they are truth. You know, examples are like reincarnation. That's a non-truth. Some people would think heaven, but that's a non-truth. Other worlds, this world, but also other worlds that are higher realms than us, they're trying to help us. Not true. You know, everything except for isness, I amness. Everything else is not true. And it really seems to take people a long time to realize this. They may be willing to say, okay, because I read in the Course in Miracles or whatever, I accept that this world is not true. But there's these other worlds out there that are enlightened and trying to help us. No, not truth, too. So it takes a long time before we're really ready to let go of all of our beliefs and get down to just the truth. Number 10. Fantasy is spun within the thinking mind. By allowing the thinking mind to spin, you choose fantasy. By allowing the thinking mind to rest, you choose truth. Again, we need to learn this 12,000 times. We all know it intellectually, and yet we're probably all going to get up and walk out of here and start thinking about stuff again. You know, letting that mind spin. And whenever we're doing that, whenever we're just thinking and letting the mind spin, we're choosing fantasy over truth. So we need to learn to rest the mind. And this, again, is what meditation is really good for, or contemplation. If you contemplate the way I did, where contemplation isn't thinking, contemplation is reading and then pausing, right? Just being. Number 11. Everything that you experience is love. There is not one exception to this statement. If you believe you look on that which is not love, you are misperceiving. To see and to know love as it is, let go of your misperception. So again, there's always a current story of the day that you can point to, like right now, it's still ISIS. You know, we have ISIS out there doing all the things that ISIS does, things that, you know, most of us don't even want to think about because they're so horrible. This is telling us of love. That's love. And so, you know, we look at them because that can't be love, you know, what they're doing to other people. That can't be love. And this is saying that's your misperception. You need to find the misperception in your mind. All that, if you can't see that as love, all that means is you're not done healing. Right? That's what that means. And we can all maybe accept that much responsibility. We can look at ISIS maybe and say, I can't see that as love. I can't see that as love. Okay, that means I still need to heal. See how you just take that ball back? And actually, that feels kind of good. That just means I need to heal, right? That's what this is saying. And then lesson number, and you can see I have to learn that 12,000 times too, by the way. Yeah. And then that takes us to lesson number 12. Oneness is all that is true now. The belief in separation has always been false. So anything that is seen through the lens of that belief must be false also. There is not one exception to this statement. So whenever you see anyone or anything, ISIS, you know, mosquito, right, anyone or anything is separate from you, that means you're looking through a lens of false belief. And so you can say, you know what, damn that mosquito. I totally just saw that mosquito is separate from me. I must still be healing. That's all you have to do. I must still be healing. Stay on the path. So those are the 12 lessons. Before I continue, does anybody have any questions about those 12 lessons? Is there anything you want to say about those 12 lessons? Oh, sure. You want. Isn't it nice, though, having it all succinctly listed in 12 lessons like that? And you could just get up every morning and review these 12 lessons if you wanted to. Just get you started on your day. And you know, and I love the symbol of we have to learn each of these lessons 12,000 times. I love that symbol. All right, so I'm going to just go to sentence 33. These 12 lessons prepare you to choose only that which is true. So when you learn these 12 lessons really well, you're ready to choose only that which is true. You're not confused about false beliefs anymore, false desires anymore. You know, you only want the truth. Verses 9 and 10. The joy of heaven is inexplicable as you step forth to choose heaven once again. For in heaven there is the knowledge that heaven is your truth. And in choosing heaven, you shall know heaven as your reality and your joy. In heaven there is one gratitude. This gratitude is for heaven as it is. And I find that to be a very interesting sentence, because remember back in Romans chapter 2, it said that the idea which started this whole thing was, what would it be like if everything were different than it is? And this says, in heaven there is one gratitude. The gratitude is for heaven as it is. Right? So returning back to loving it as it is. This gratitude is joint, and this gratitude is shared. For in heaven there is nothing that is apart from the reality of all that is. And the light of heaven is seen to be that which is yourself. Its joy is your joy. Its gratitude is your gratitude. Its oneness is your oneness, and its love is yourself. Never have you been separate from heaven. and never has heaven been separate from you. For how can one, even for a moment, be separate from the one that is his self? And again, we can all check right now, and we can see that we are aware. We're not separate from awareness, right? You can just check right now and see that it is true. How could you ever be separate from that? In this knowledge is all joy. In this knowledge is all peace. In this knowledge is fear wiped out forever. Because in this knowledge it is seen that it is impossible that there could be anything separate from you to fear. So that's NTI Revelation chapter 7. And the assignment that's coming to me, if you guys like it, if you don't, we'll look for something else. But the assignment that's coming is maybe just to set a little bit of time aside each day just to read these 12 each day. I mean, what do you think of that? Okay, so we'll just each day set some time aside and sit down and read these 12 lessons so that we can start learning them our 12,000 times. Get them in our mind first.
It's still the first one.
This is the first one, yeah. Yeah, you are.
In David Hawkins' book, he has a list. This is the only, this is the second list that I see.
Yeah.
And his the first one, I copied it and put it on my wall. I used to read it all the time, so this could be a good lesson for me. Get over it, son. The number one is the proof of God's existence is you. Like, right.
Yeah.
There's like, he had sort of distilled, you know, what the essence of what, you know, he's teaching, which is, you know, he's pretty high speed, but he's kind of into kinesiology and stuff, but which is like, you know, you were talking about earlier, it's like that kinesiology is just a huge distraction. Right. It's as big as their existence of other worlds or reincarnation or anything. It's like, so. You know, I still like the guy, but I never had that list, and then, you know, I would just voluntarily, you know, just like read it.
Yeah, I like the first one on the list.
That's just an example, because the rest of the points on the list, could be 10 or 12, were equally as I don't want to say profound, but they were true in a way that reading them, you know that you're reading the truth.
Yeah, very good. All right, well then why don't I stop the recording and we will have a little bit of silence. Good to be back with you guys, by the way.